tubed television screen and watching it, it was sort of surreal. I think what made it real was the fact that Christa McAuliffe was on board, being the first U.S. citizen, civilian citizen to travel into space, and it was sort of a sad day. It's also a good day in a sense. It was also the day that we had a ceasefire in Vietnam. Maybe it didn't last, but it was a good day then. And also, it was Ronald Reagan was president, if you can believe it or not. It doesn't seem like that long ago that Ronald Reagan was president, but it's quite a few years ago now. So that's what happened today. Some other tidbits that came up were like, this is the day the U.S. called off their search for Pancho Villa. I don't know about you, but that sounds like a movie, an old Western movie. They called it off after 11 months of trying to find him, and they couldn't find him in Mexico. So that's a little tidbit about that. January is also radon month, radon awareness month. Last year we had the people from radon supplies over here in Flemington join us, and they did a nice job in talking about radon. And for any of you that know me, it's a subject that I feel passionate about, in a sense that I feel it's my job as a home inspector, especially when new people are buying a house, to explain what radon is. So if you know what it is, bear with me, because it will be redundant. But if you don't, or if you forgot about it, I think it's really important, especially today, because if you think about it today, things are more important than ever, because we're spending more time in our houses in the last 11 months than we probably did in the last 10 years. Being that we're working from home, we're staying home at night, we're not going out, we're not socializing, we're spending weekends at home. So radon is very important to make sure that you know if you have it or if you don't, if you have a system that it's working correctly. So let's talk a little bit about what first radon is. Radon is an odorless, colorless gas that emits from the ground. It comes from rock and uranium that is breaking down in the rock, in the ground, and it perks its way up through the soil and makes its way into the cavities and into the air. It's a gas, and so you don't see it. You don't smell it. If you did smell it, if it had a bad smell like natural gas or it had a green color to it, people would be screaming about it and they'd be taking steps to take care of it. But when you don't see it, you don't smell it, you think, that's nothing to do about that. That's just made up science maybe. But unfortunately, it's the number two leading cause of cancer in the country. Some estimates put it as high as 50,000 people a year will die of lung-related radon disease or radon cancer. So I'm not sure about the numbers, if they're guaranteed or they're scientific, but I do know that radon gas is harmful, and if you have it, there's a simple way to remediate it. So that's one thing that we'll talk about in a minute. But again, it comes up from the ground, and then people say, how does it get into my house? Well, there's two ways it typically gets into a house, is it emits through the basement floor or even a slab. So people think, oh, I got a slab, I don't need radon. Well, guess what? I've had houses that had high radon readings that are on a slab, and I've had houses with basements that had no radon readings. So there is no particular house that is immune from it. It depends on where it is and what the soil composition is and where the gas is and how much rock is in the ground. Unfortunately, the northwest New Jersey, coming from Hunterdon County up through Morris and Sussex and Warren, is in the region 1, which makes it the highest region in the state, which means we tend to have a higher reading than most of the state. Although, just like a testing for the virus, things can be funny. I mean, the more you test, the more we find out we have it. So some areas that said we don't have radon, as they test more, they find out they had more radon than they thought they did. So it's a simple test. It's somewhere between $50 and $150, depending on how you get it done and who does it for you. Some towns, you want to check with your towns. Some towns will give you the test for free because there are some state programs that will fund test kits. Most of the test kits, there's a number of ways they can do it. They can do it with a liquid scintillation, which is a liquid test. But most tests in the real estate market are done with a charcoal canister. It basically looks like a dip can, and it has charcoal in it with a screen over it, and they set it in the lowest part of the house. Now, this is key. You set it in the lowest living area of the house. You can't set it in a place where you never live. Like a crawl space is not a good place to set it. And the basement, you can't live in the basement ever, even if you finished it, then it's not a good spot. You want to live in the lowest living space because you want to get an accurate reading of what the radon is. And the radon will migrate up, so that's why you want to get it in the lowest possible living space available. You leave the can for up to, it's basically 48 hours to 144 hours, and then you seal it back up and you send it into a lab. The lab tests it and it comes back with a reading. Now, here's where the interpretation comes, guys. The federal government and the EPA says 4.0 is the limit where they say you should start remediation. But let me ask you, and this is sort of rhetorical because you can't answer me on the phone, on the air, but if you had a reading of 3.9, is that good or bad? I mean, it's below 4.0, but it's 3.9, so shouldn't I still mitigate? I think you have to make the decision yourself, and you have to read the information. The scale is not a straight linear scale. Like, 8 is not twice as bad as 4. It's probably more because it's an exponential logarithm scale, like a seismic scale, and it escalates as it goes up. So you want to read it. Most test results will come with your reading, and then there's a couple pages from the government, and actually it's from the EPA, and it's well written. Then the second question comes was, who's responsible for this radon? Well, Mother Nature's responsible for it, but who's going to take care of it? Now, in New Jersey, there are no laws that say that the seller has to take care of it. So don't be under the guise that the guy selling you a house has to fix this. He doesn't have to. A lot of good lawyers will put it in the contract that if it's above 4.0, the seller will fix it. It's a below 4.0, then the buyer has to decide what he wants to do. Again, there's the worst thing is when I come back and I have a reading of 3.8 or 3.9, basically, the buyer saying, oh, the seller's not going to fix it, but I'm still concerned about it. So you got to make that decision, and you decide where you're going to spend the money. It's relatively easy to mitigate a house. Basically, what they do is they drill a hole in the basement floor. They put a 4-inch pipe through, and then they put a fan. And the fan should be outside, or it should be above the highest living area. It should not be in the basement. Should not be in a crawl space below the living room. It's got to be in an attic above the living space or outside. And most of these will see it, the ones you'll see, is you go by a house and you'll see a white pipe on the side of the house that runs up the side of the house and above the roof line. And then about 3 feet from the ground, you'll see this thing that looks like a flying saucer almost. And that's the fan. And that fan runs continuously forever, hopefully forever. Got to make sure it's still running, but it runs and what it does is create negative pressure under the house and it vents the dangerous gas out through the roof. Many homes like mine, I had a reading in the threes, and I had one assistance put in, and it's been at 0.6 for almost 20 years now. So it's very effective when it's done right. Some houses are more difficult than others. If you've got a lot of crawl space that's not sealed or open dirt, it's harder. They have to seal that. If it's a big basement, they may have to put two systems in. But it is a system that can be mitigated and reduce the threat of radon in the house. Now, the other aspect of it is, and I saw my first one actually installed in a house, is radon in the water. Now, if you have city water, typically the city water aerates the water, and that therefore they remove the radon before they actually even pump it into the system to get to your house. But if you have a well system and you have a high radon reading, and they put a fan in the basement and they still can't get it down, you may want to check the water. This mitigation is not as simple. It requires a lot more complex equipment that actually the water passes through before it gets into your house, and it actually aerates the water and sucks the radon out of the water and then blows it out through the roof similar. But it's like a washing machine type device, and it actually de-radons the water because the radon can be released from the gas. It's dissolved in the water, but when it comes out of your shower, it comes out of your sink, boils in your spaghetti, it releases in the air and gets into the house. So those are two ways that radon get in. So this is radon month. So consider that before you start buying a house or looking at it. Now, if you've been in the house for years and haven't had it tested, I recommend the EPA says every 2 to 3 years. I recommend you do it at least that. And I also think that you should check with your town because many towns may provide the testing kits for free. So call your local town and find out if they do before you go out and buy one. You can buy one at Home Depot or Lowe's or many of the other hardware stores out there, or you can pay somebody like myself who will come out and set the test, come collect it, and then get results for you. Typically, the testing results of radon run you around $100, $100 and a quarter, $150 maybe, and then the test you can buy is probably $50, $60. But there's no reason not to have it tested every 2 or 3 years. It's the price of one movie. And I'm sure you'd rather find out that the reading is high now than find out it 20 years from now. As one expert from over here in Flemington told me, Jessica over there said, if it was green and smelled like your socks, you'd be screaming about it if you had it. But the trouble is people don't know they have it. So the radon month is January. Don't forget about it. Think about it while you're spending time in your basement because 1997 I started working from home and started spending a lot of time in my basement. And I was certainly glad now if I look back 20 years and got educated on radon that I put the system in. I did put it in for the kids because I was finishing the basement for them, But then I ended up actually using it probably more than anybody because I spent more time in the basement than anybody other than my son now, who practically lives there. So that's what we got. We got a couple commercials, and then we'll be right back. But thanks for joining me. We'll cover some more about the house and what do's and don'ts in the wintertime as we get cold here, and we've been lucky this winter. We'll talk about some ice and some things that you have to make sure that you shut off, and some things that you should check, and some things that you can't check in the winter, and some things about home inspections that people don't think we check because we can't. But we'll go over that. So hang with us for a few minutes. We're still getting used to the new boards here, so give me one second. We'll get it to you.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
You're listening to HunterdonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located at the historic Large House, 119 Main Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.HunterdonChamberRadio.com for a complete listing of our programs.
Okay, we're back. Again, this is Larry McAtee with Home Team Inspection Service, where we offer full home inspections for the buyer and seller of your property. We also do radon. We also do termites, tank sweeps, sewer scopes. So we offer one call does it all. We can even arrange your septic inspection if you need it. If you're interested in a home inspection or you have any questions about a home inspection, give me a call at 973-547-7748. That's 973-547-7748. Or you can always email at larry@lmcentee@hometeam.com. Check us out on the web if you want to see our unedited reviews and our sample reports. We do things a little different in the sense that we do a full inspection with 2 inspectors, sometimes 3 or 4 inspectors, depending on what other inspections you have going. Typically, we do a whole house inspection with 2 house inspectors and 1 termite inspector. Therefore, you get a complete inspection, and we don't have to spend all day at the house for you. So if time is money, consider a home team and look at our reviews. We're a national company, but we're independently owned and independently owned franchise, and I own the business, so I'm here local. I did live in Flemington and Merritt Township for a while, and now I live up in just down on the other side of Moore. So give me a call if you have any questions or you have any concerns. But let's talk about the home inspection and what can be done in the wintertime, because I just visited a house I did 3 or 4 months ago, and the homeowner was concerned about some cracks in the walls. And it was a relatively new house, and there were some small stress cracks. And it's funny because, you know, what I think is nothing, if you're a new home buyer, you're afraid that you're missing something. And, you know, these beautiful homes that look like when you buy them, because don't forget, people prep the house when they put it up for sale, and they fix all the little nuances. Like, they will fill the crack along the stairwell with the caulk while they're selling it, and then after a while the caulk dries, and then you run up and down the stairs, the crack may open up again a little bit, and then you panic thinking the staircase is going to cave in. But in most cases, it's not. It's some of them are unique to this house, and some of them are bad construction. Some of them are just the normal wear and tear of a house that can happen. Cracks in sheetrock are not uncommon. When they become disjointed and doors become out of alignment, then there may be more concern about support structures and improper framing and stuff like that. But I can tell you most of the times a crack in a sheetrock or a seam splitting is usually either bad tape or bad putty, or just the fact that the lumber was damp when it put in and now it's drying out and it tends to check and crack a little bit. And with that, it will pull the sheetrock, which is very unflexible. So you can imagine that some people panic on that, but a lot of times it's nothing. But in the wintertime, it's harder because the heat's blowing full blast. Many houses have humidifiers, but they're not set correctly. I encourage people to check their humidifiers. One thing to do is check the filter in the humidifier, because 9 out of 10 times I look at open up the humidifier and the filter is hardened over with crusted hard water, calcium deposits, and not doing its job. And then the water may become stagnant or crusty in there, and then you're actually blowing that through the furnace into your house. So make sure if you have those systems that you have them checked regularly. If you don't understand them, get some education. Call an HVAC professional. Have them tell you about it and tell you what you do to maintain it. If you're not comfortable maintaining it, then you might have to pay a couple bucks and have a guy maintain it. There are plenty of plumbers and HVAC companies that offer service protections out there. So, you know, take your time. Make sure you take care of these systems because they're important to you and your health, and they're also important to your furniture and your house. Long term, if you have forced hot air, if you're not maintaining a decent humidity level, your furniture will dry and become brittle, and things will break. Legs on furniture has been known to split and crack. You can get nosebleeds if you're subject to nosebleeds. Warm, dry air tends to dry out the nasal cavity when you sleep. So there are things like that. But then the other side of it, if you set the humidifier too much and you put too much moisture back in the air, you create an atmosphere where you can have mildew, mold, and other things grow. In the basements, it's key to keep the moisture down. I believe it's under 50%, but you can check that. So there are reasons why you run a humidifier and reasons why you don't. But you have to understand, if you have one, what it is. It's amazing to me how many people will say to me, well, what is that? I don't understand. And go back to my report, and honestly, sometimes I don't blame people, but you got to read the report, because in the report it will say that the system is equipped with a humidifier. The humidifier is beyond the scope of a home inspection because there are many different kinds of humidifiers, and it's not my job to sit there and teach you how to use this particular one. I can tell you how it's, you know, what it's supposed to do overall, but how to operate on a day-to-day basis is beyond the scope. You could spend 2 days if you had to explain every system in the house from start to scratch. The good news, guys, is you know, when I was little, you didn't have YouTube. You had Uncle Jim and your neighbor Frank that you'd go to and say, "Hey, Frank, I found this thing in my house. I mean, what is it?" And Frank would come over and teach you what he learned. And now it could be right, it could be wrong, it could be somewhere in between. It's like when I do a home inspection and Uncle John shows up. And Uncle John's a nice guy, but he knows everything. And, no matter what I say, he can't, you know, let go without explaining it to me why it's the way it is. Many times it's a very helpful person. I had an electrician with me once that literally I walked out of the house learning more about electricity than I went in knowing about. So don't be shy and don't be afraid to say, "I don't know," and ask the questions why or what and this. And then if the home inspector doesn't know, typically he can give you a resource or a person to call that knows better than he. So ask for those resources and then talk to them. Many of these guys out there will talk to you, but understand they do get paid for their time, so they're not out there just to educate you for free. Most of them are making a living at it, and they have services that they do sell. So that's what we do there. One of the things that comes up in the wintertime a lot is the air conditioning. And typically we can't test the air conditioner when it's below 65 degrees outside for 3 days straight. And people say, "Well, why not?" And I said, "Well, think about it. There's a couple of reasons. If I turn the air conditioner on and it blows 50 to 30 degree air and it's 30 degrees outside, does that mean the air conditioner is working, or does it mean it's just transferring 30 degree air from outside? I don't know. The whole idea of an air conditioner is to measure how much it drops the temperature from outside to inside, and it's hard to do in the wintertime. The other aspect of it is your compressor typically is not made to run in frozen conditions. The Freon is an oil based, it's gas, but it's compressed into a liquid, and then there's lubricant in your compressor, and the compressor's outside. Your air conditioner is two pieces. There's one piece in the furnace or in the air exchanger in the house, and the air compressor outside. That's the unit everybody thinks is the whole air conditioner, but it's really only half the system. And that's just a big fan and a cooling, and then fins to cool it off. So what it does is it exchanges the heat for cool, and if it's a heat pump, it reverses itself in the winter and brings heat in. It actually jettisons the cold air, and brings hot air in, makes hot air. I'm sorry if that's confusing there, but that's what it does. So the compressor outside, so really anybody can't inspect it. And a professional, maybe a HVAC, air conditioning specialist, can put meters on it and can take pressures and tell you whether there's pressure in it and everything else. But that's well beyond my scope of experience, and I don't know many home inspectors that have that capability. You'd be an HVAC guy or an air conditioning specialist. So in the wintertime, you got to take for granted that the AC may or may not be working, and the seller may or may not be telling you the truth. So if you're really concerned about it, there's two things that we always recommend. One is possible escrow, and let the attorney handle that, because sometimes you can hold money in escrow until the spring and it works. Or two, you get a home warranty. Home warranty is something you pay $600-$700 for, and sometimes the seller will pay for it, sometimes they'll split it. But you get that for the first year, and that allows you to protect yourself against this. So in the spring, when the air conditioner doesn't line up, it doesn't fire up, or has a problem, then you know about it. Because many times I'm looking at an air conditioner, and if I look at the air conditioner in the attic, and there's a pan underneath, the pan underneath is designed to catch water in case it overflows, and I'll see staining in the bottom. I don't know whether that's new staining or old staining, because the air conditioner hasn't run since October, and it's now January. So if it was leaking, it's not leaking now. So is that rust old, or is it current, and it's just not because we're not running the air conditioner? So a lot of times your comments in your your report might say previous staining, there's evidence of previous water in the pan. It may be current or not, and you may have to get it checked out by an HVAC guy. That total, by the way, if it's the only problem with the house, you got to weigh the odds. You got to weigh the plus loss. And this is where your agent comes in. And I think you guys heard me say many a time that my best tool in an inspection bag is a good agent. If you bid on this house and you bid 10 grand above listing to get it from five other people that were going for this house, and it needs a new air conditioner in springtime, and you got to shell out 3 grand more, I know you're disappointed. I agree with you. I wish I could have told you it was bad. But are you telling me that you wouldn't have bid 3 grand more to get the house? So don't lose a house you really, really want over a little thing. And I don't mean that 3 grand is a little thing, but it's a little thing in the sense that if you and your wife were buying this house and you knew the competition was 3 grand higher, would you bid 4 grand more for the house? And if the answer is yes, then you got to look at it that way and say, okay, these things that I may or may not have to find or repair, I've got to weigh them into the picture, and how much can I push the seller? I had one recent home inspection where they told me it was only a structural things that they were looking for. And many times I get that, and they said, don't worry about it, Rob. You don't have to be that picky. We're only looking for major. The saying is structural, environmental, or safety. I said, well, the state of New Jersey describes a home inspection as looking for material defect, and they describe a material defect as anything that affects the safety, the hability, or the value of the dwelling. So let me ask you, if you have five windows in the second floor that all the thermal breaks have fog in them and moisture in them, and the way to fix them is either replace the window or replace the glass, which could be thousands of dollars, is that a material defect? Well, I propose to you that it is a material defect, because if I had to put 10 grand into that house when I buy it to fix those windows, I think it's a material defect. Same thing as if the front stairs are too high and you're going to trip over them, that's a safety implementation, and somebody falls in that and gets hurt, that falls under the definition of material defect, and that needs to be addressed. Now, how you address it depends on the situation. You can ask the buyer to fix it, but if you're asking the buyer to fix a concrete step in the middle of January where it's 20 degrees, it's not happening, because most guys won't attempt to do that kind of work in this kind of weather. It takes a specialist. It can be done, by the way, but it takes a specialist. It takes special concrete and all that. It may not be worth it. You might be better off getting concession, getting a price tag, an estimate of it, and then having it done in the spring under your direction. Or you may decide it's not worth it. I'm going to still buy the house. Everything else is good. okay, I'll take care of it. So understand that's what a home inspection is looking for, is material defects. And then the key word there is material defect. It doesn't have to be in the report. It has to meet those criteria. And, like I said, I had one house where the homeowners were saying that the fogging of the windows is a regular maintenance item and it's not a material defect. My opinion, it was. Unfortunately, that's when it goes to the lawyers. And the lawyers are the ones that will argue those points out and go back and forth. It's not me. I can only tell you that the moisture is in the window and it affects how many windows. And in my opinion, it's substantial. And, the other thing I recommend is to get a window expert in there and get a real estimate on the window so you know what your exposure is. If a guy goes in there and says, yeah, I can replace the glass in these units, and it's going to cost $150 a window and it's $1,000, maybe it's not a material defect in your eyes. Now, if it's a $400,000 house and I've got to put $50,000 worth of windows in it, I would think that's a material defect. And that's where, you may end up in court, or you may end up negotiating, or you may end up backing out of the house because of it. But there are costs in that too, and most home inspectors are aware of it. I'm very much aware that you've already spent money with a lawyer, you've already spent time and effort, you've already put a deposit down, you've already applied for the title, you've got the appraisal done. Everybody's got money in the game, and I don't want to take the deal apart, but I don't want you to buy a house that you didn't know about something that I knew about. And that's what sometimes makes us the bad guys, is people say, well, you're pointing out all the negative. Well, you're hiring me to do that. You're hiring me to look at the house with a critical eye and to give you a report on the status of that house. I don't judge it, by the way, because I've seen many houses that need $100,000 worth of work. I saw one house in Sayreville. It needed $100,000 worth of work. But the people were buying it for, I think, $600,000, but the value of the neighbor's house is $1.2 million, and this house could easily get that if it was fixed up. So you buy it at $600,000, put $150,000 in it, you're still well under the market value. So it was still a good deal. That's where it comes in, and you guys got to look at it, and you got to weigh the odds, and then you also look at your circumstance. If you don't have the $150,000, once you get the house, if you're stretching to get that mortgage, and you don't have the $150,000 to put into it once you get it, maybe not the right house, because then you're going to get the house, and you're not going to be able to fix the things you want. Then you're going to be unhappy with your agent, you're going to be unhappy with your inspector, and your house is not going to get fixed up, and it won't appreciate the way you think it will. So that's my little song in the winter there, but we'll continue after the commercials here. I got to run a few and run the news break, but let's talk after that, and looking forward to it. Again, it's Larry McEntee with Home Again with Jeannie. We're off to a start this year. This is only our second broadcast since they reopened the radio station here. Just a little shout-out before we go to break to the Huntington County Chamber of Commerce. The Huntington County Chamber is here in Main Street, Flemington, and it's here to serve all the companies in the Huntington County area who does business here. They do a great job. They've got a great facility here. I'm dying to see this thing being open fully. We've got several classrooms around me. Right now you see me broadcasting from this new radio station. But on the right of me, there's a conference room, and there's three classrooms, small, medium, and large. New facilities, new bathrooms, easy parking on Main Street. And it's going to be a tremendous value to the business community and to the community at large once it gets up and running after this pandemic is over, so we can all use it. We have to wear masks in here. There's actually special things on the microphones to keep us safe and while we do the radio show. And then also there's an hour in between shows, so that's one reason why you're not seeing the regular schedule you used to. And I hope you'll bear with me while we continue to broadcast and bring us back up onto the site. And then I can't wait till I can have guests in here and we can have conversations with more value instead of me rambling on like I do. But I'm happy to be back at it. So give me five and we'll do the commercial news break, and then we'll get back to you in a minute. Thanks.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
A group of investors on social media is getting rich by driving up the stock of GameStop. This has large hedge funds on edge. As far as the legality of things, entrepreneur Mark Cuban says,
yeah, but it's not really manipulation. It's absolutely no different than what has always happened, Becky. You know, it's just these folks are picking things where, you know, heavily shorted stocks. They'll go to low float stocks because they know they can flex and show off you know, and let people see what's going on.
Cuban speaking on CNBC. FEMA is close to finalizing a request for the Pentagon to assign thousands of service members to support COVID-19 vaccination efforts. The agency will ask for the Defense Department to deploy as many as 10,000 military members at up to 100 sites across the country. More news online at usaradio.com. USA Radio News.
In today's day and age, it's refreshing to find a company with values that match yours. And it's even more extraordinary when the products they make exceed your expectation in every way. That's what Michael's Naturopathic Programs has done for over 30 years. With more than 50 tried and truthful high-potency formulas, Michael's Naturopathic Programs give your body what it needs. No more guessing what herbs or vitamin, amino acid, or mineral you need. With Michael's, it's all in one bottle. From cardiovascular support to weight management to nervous system support to detox and cleansing and more. Michael's Naturopathic Programs work. They have to. Michael himself has been giving them to his family from the very start. Visit michaelshealth.com and get your tried and truthful formulation today. That's michaelshealth.com. michaelshealth.com.
Get a special discount when you input the code Pastor Greg. That's Pastor Greg for your special discount.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
For over 50 years, Hunterdon Medical Center has been a leader in delivering comprehensive medical and health services to our community. Our staff is committed to providing the highest quality of care to our patients. If you need a physician, we can refer you to over 300 of the best. Call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org. When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Okay, we're back again. Again, this is Larry McAtee with Home Team. It's our home again with Larry and Jeannie. Jeannie being our resident Weichert realtor here in Flemington. If you need a great agent, look her up, Jeannie Murphy, Weichert in Flemington. Home Team Inspection Service, providing quality home team home inspections with two inspectors per inspection. You can reach us at 973-547-7748. Please give me a call if you have any questions or any concerns. I do take phone calls, and it is my cell, so be patient. If I don't answer it, it's probably because I'm on a roof somewhere. But let's talk a little bit, just a few personal notes today. Today I got my son vaccinated. For those of you who know, I have a 29-year-old son who suffers with autism, and he's had it since he was diagnosed at 18 months. So, and I have three children, and he's the quietest one because he's never said a word. So he's probably the only McAtee in the history of McAtees that hasn't even had a lot to say about things. So he's a great guy to be around because you can talk to him and you get no feedback that way. So there's no rebuttal. You just get a lot of smiles and head shakes at you. But I want to thank the healthcare workers that gave him a shot today, because getting a shot in my son is not the easiest thing in the world. You have to actually, he's very curious, and he's looking around, and when he sees his mother and me together when we're not supposed to be there, he starts suspecting things, and then he sees the needle come out. He's watching the nurse in the background, and actually, I don't know if it's a nurse or just a medical professional, but she's taking the needle out, and he sees that, and I got to thank these guys because they're very, very well trained and very patient. Because with my son, we have to sneak up behind him, and I really put him in a bear hug. And he manages to kind of toss me around the room, even though I'm holding him, you know, his arms down and his shoulder out. And I should say medical technician, because I really don't know whether she was a nurse or just a technician, but she was very patient. And Matthew stopped for a second. She got the needle in. He moved around a little bit. She stopped for a second. She got the plunger down. It was over and done with, and he was done. But boy, did he have a mean look for me and my wife. And but I have to thank them. I'm not a vaccination crazy man. I'm not against them. I'm not for them. I'm concerned about them, but at the same time, I thank these guys for out there, because Matt is in a group home with four young men, and they all got vaccinated today, and it's one step in the right direction, I hope. I guess the jury's still out on whether it will help us or not do much. We'll see, I guess. But I guess it's the step in the right direction, and hopefully we'll all be on that way soon. But thanks, you guys. I want to make sure if anybody's listening out there in the medical profession, we appreciate it. I know it sounds like rah, 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 but at the same time, you know, until you see them doing it and facing these guys and also dealing with our young men and women with disabilities, it's a whole different world, because people don't understand that, you know, the fact that I have to hold him, almost physically restrain him to get a shot in his arm for his benefit. They would think it's cruel, but I also think him getting the virus and sitting in a hospital room strapped to a bed because he wouldn't stay in it to be a much worse situation. So hopefully this will protect him and protect his workers, that his staff and his house that take care of his needs, protect them also. So good luck with that, and thanks, guys. I hope it continues, and I hope everybody out there that is not frustrated by the registration, the process, and getting the shot. Hopefully we'll get better at that, but I think we have a long way to go. Maybe Murphy should be quiet and start focusing his efforts on getting the vaccine to the right people and getting it out there. But that's another subject, which I won't go into. But I did go into it, didn't I? All right, let's talk about the inspection in the winter. There's very few things we can't do. I did a house the other day up in Pompton Lakes, way up North Jersey, and they had snow cover. So the comment in my report says that the property is covered with snow, limiting my visibility. Now, granted, I'm going to go back there in 2 days to pick up a radon test, and hopefully the snow will be melted and I can get a better look at the grounds. But, you know, I can't see the deflection in the concrete patio because it's all covered with snow. I can't see that the deck may have a rotted spot on it because it's covered with snow. The sidewalk, I mean, you can't see it. The roof is covered with snow. I can't see the condition of the shingles. Now, there are good things about that in the sense that if the roof is frozen, I can go inside and we can see if there's any parts of the roof that are either dripping wet from the ice, because it will get warmer in the attic and the ice will melt through if there's a lot of heat exchange, if there's any water damage. We'll see if there's any ice damming or if the gutters are draining properly. So there's some good and some bad with it, but most of the time we can do most of the inspection. And hopefully you looked at the house before the snow too. So don't let yourself off the hook. If you're buying a house, look at it with a critical eye. Once you decide you want it, go back. Ask the realtor to go back and look at the house again. You want to take some measurements. You want to look at some things. And go back with a critical eye, not an eye to buy, but more of an eye that, what is there any problems? Are there things that I should write down? And I encourage my buyers to write down their concerns, because you know what? When I get there, say it's a 1 o'clock inspection. We're always there usually around 12:45, and we'll start the inspection on the outside, and we start on the roof and the bottom, and we work our way together. We do use two inspectors, so we have one doing the roof and one guy doing the outside and the foundation. And then we go inside and we do the attic and the basement, and we look at pipes and stuff like that. So, you know, and it's going to happen very quickly. You're going to get there, and I tell people, it's like, it reminds me of when I go see my doctor. You know, before I go see my doctor, I say, oh, I want him to check this, I want him to check this, I want him to check that. I get there, you wait 2 hours, you're tired, you maybe waited an hour, you got into the back room, you waited another half hour, he comes in, so Larry, how you feeling? I say, well, pretty good. Okay, let me see the building, he looks at my ears, test the reflex, you know, maybe check some other things, but then he's gone. And I'm thinking, oh my God, I have 6 questions I've never asked him. Write them down, people. Because you get the guy's attention, you want to make sure that he hears you, and then he looks at the things you're concerned about. Because if you don't tell him, he can't be concerned about it, or he may have missed it. Same thing with a home inspector. If you're concerned about the crack in the basement wall, write it down so when we get there and you say, listen, I have one area I'm concerned with, it's a crack in the basement. And I go downstairs and I look at it and I say, oh, it's vertical. It's a settlement crack. It's probably nothing to worry about, but I keep an eye on it. Boom, you're done. But if I didn't say that, now you're left with my report that you paid money for, and it didn't address that, or maybe I saw it, maybe I didn't see it. Sometimes I consider it, like the one today I stopped at a house and that I did a few months ago, and it was a small crack. I wouldn't even mention it in my report, but now the person's concerned about it, and I should explain to them why I wouldn't be concerned about it. But also understand that the definition of a home inspection in New Jersey, and I do this for all our inspectors, it's basically, it's a visible inspection of the house, a non-intrusive visible inspection. That means what we can see without taking things apart. There's very few things we can take apart in the house. We can take apart, we're going to take the electric box cover off, it's because we want to see inside the panel. The reason that is I want to see how many wires are in there, what kind of wires are in there, whether they're copper or aluminum, whether they're connected correctly, whether they're overloaded. And it's going to tell me a lot about what I have to look for outside the box. If I see a lot of mess in there and a lot of amateur wiring, and you say, what's amateur wiring? Well, if you looked at it, ever looked at a box that was done by a professional electrician and done well, you'll right away when you open the box, you'll see the difference. We're also looking at, everybody's got generators now. Are they connected correctly? Do they have the proper lockout? Do they have the proper electrical connections? And again, don't expect your home inspector to be able to tell you everything that's wrong with it, because that's not their job. The job is to identify that there are issues with your electrical system and you need a licensed electrician. I did a home inspection talk for an agent who was doing a buyer seminar, and one of the questions was, "Is why do I need so many inspections?" Well, you need so many inspections depending on what we find. Your home inspector is a generalist. When he gets to the house, he's like your practitioner when you go to see a doctor. And if you go to him and you say, you know, you got this pain in your shoulder, and he looks at your shoulder and he moves it around and he feels swelling, guess what? 9 times out of 10, he's sending you to an orthopedic doctor. He's sending you to a specialist. He's going to say, yeah, I think that's a real problem or a real concern. Or he's going to say, no, Larry, put some ice on it and come back in 2 weeks. If it's gone, then it's gone. If it's not, then we'll refer you to Joe Schmo, who's going to look at it as an orthopedic. Same thing with your heart. And then I tell you the truth, the first thing you got to do, if you tell people that you have a pain in your chest and you're 55 years old, your doctor's going to listen to your heart, and you know what he's going to say, and I don't care whether he hears anything or not, he's going to send you to a cardiologist. Because at 55, 60 years old, he's going to send you a cardiologist. Cardiologist is going to do an EKG. EKG turns up anything above normal, they're going to send you for the stress test, or they're going to maybe, you know, an angioplasty at that point, depending on how bad it is. But So understand that that's what a home inspector does, is you do him first, because he's going to eliminate things that you don't need. If he sees no problem with your foundation and your structure, then you probably don't need a structural engineer. I had a house the other day where the joists were cut through. They don't need a structural engineer, but they need a contractor to replace the joists. I don't need a structural engineer to tell me that. Now, granted, if I saw cracks in 4 or 5 joists and I didn't know why they were cracked, I would call for a structural engineer to say, why are these cracking? Is there a reason? Is there too much stress? Did they build on this? Did they change upstairs? Many times people change their houses and they don't get the right permits and they don't get the right engineers, and they put stresses where they weren't meant to be. So understand, everything in your system in your house is a system and it has a reason for it. Plumbing's the same thing. I'm going to refer to a licensed plumber if I see plumbing that I know is invented correctly. Because if it's not invented correctly, it may or may not have a problem, guys. I mean, I've seen many a sinks in the basement that were added and a washing machine's dumping into it, and it's not a problem. But if it doesn't have a proper vent on it, I'm going to call for a licensed plumber to review it. Because if you move in and that sink in the basement starts emitting foul sewer odors or doesn't drain correctly, you're going to say, how come Larry didn't find that? And you're going to look back at your report, and in it, it's going to say, the laundry sink in the basement appears to work okay, but I don't see a proper vent, and I call for a licensed plumber to evaluate and make recommendations and or repairs. Now, I've been wrong before. I've done that, and a plumber comes in and say, no, it's vented this way, and this is where the vent pipe is. He wouldn't have saw it. What drives me crazy, though, is if you actually call it out, and the professional goes in there and then throws you under the bus and says, oh, my God, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Most home inspectors know what they're talking about, and they may be wrong, or they may have missed something, or it may be done a different way that they're not aware of, but most of the time it's not like they just, you know, didn't see, or they're lying to you. It's because they didn't know it. I mean, there are certain ways that plumbers can do things, and most of the times if I have any question about it, I have a whole bevy of people I can call and ask questions to. Cliff Hartman knows that I'll call him up with any of my electrical questions, and you know, TJ Ortro knows if I've got a plumbing question, he's getting a text and a picture and saying, hey, TJ, can I connect the washer this way? And you know what he'll say? He'll come back and say, no, Larry, that's legal with the washing machine. And this is an example. There's a, something in the basement where the pipes were running. He says, that's legal for a washing machine connection, but nothing else. If that was a bathroom sink and a toilet, it wouldn't be right. Learn something new every day. So that's what you do. And so that's why in the winter, it's not the worst thing in the world, but understand there are certain things that we can and cannot do with the grounds. So that's what happens in the winter. Hey, we'll be back in a couple minutes just to finish up these last couple commercials, and then we'll wrap up for today. We're hopefully going to have a realtor on in 2 weeks, a different view from Jeannie, but somebody who's going to come talk to us about the market. One of the things that I learned in December, there's supposed to be twice as many houses closed in Morris County as actually listed. So what does that tell you? That tells you there's a shortage of houses, guys. And if you're thinking about selling your house and you're thinking about moving, you may want to talk to an agent and find out now. Now may be the time to get your best dollar for your return. Depending on the area, the type of house, and the price range, I've seen houses go on sale, and I've seen, I'm on a lot of my agents' pages. I saw one this weekend that went on open house on Saturday, and on Monday they had 12 offers. So you can bet that they're getting the price they want, and they'll go from there. So hang on 1 second. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
For over 50 years, Hunterdon Medical Center has been a leader in delivering comprehensive medical and health services to our community. Our staff is committed to providing the highest quality of care to our patients. If you need a physician, we can refer you to over 300 of the best. Call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org. When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
All right, we're back. Hey, just a reminder, I didn't do this at the beginning, but the weather. Today is 32 and partly sunny. Tomorrow is going to be a nice day, but it's going to be a little colder. It's going to be 25 degrees and partly sunny. Saturday is going to be a bright sunny day, it says, but 31 degrees. And Sunday into Monday, we're looking at some snow. So we're at 30, 34 degrees. So right up through next Tuesday, we're looking at Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday with some snow. And then Wednesday, partly cloudy at 30. So we're going to be cold for a while. So make sure we button down the hatches and check your faucets. Had a house the other day with the outside spigot still on, and I'm surprised it wasn't frozen. You can have frost-free faucets on the outside and still have a frozen pipe, people, so make sure you shut those valves on the inside. Usually you have a spigot in the front of the house, in the back of the house. Go downstairs, find out where you shut them off, and just turn that knob off. Save yourself from a big nightmare if you get a frozen pipe. Nothing like water. Had a house in Morris Plains the other day we walked into. We were doing the outside of the house, and the agent opened up the house. We walked in, and there was water coming through the whole first floor. House was staged with furniture, and it was the whole living room ceiling was down on top of the couches. The dining room ceiling was caved in. The kitchen ceiling was caved in. It seems like the boiler had a problem because it blew water out all through the radiators, and then it just soaked the floors. And the house was unoccupied, so it probably was going for several days because there were several inches of water in the basement. I suspect that that water damage is probably going to run into close to 50, 60, maybe even six figures. What a mess. I felt so bad for the buyers and the sellers, to tell you the truth. Sellers weren't there, but I felt bad that they're going to have to remediate that now, and there's a lot of water cleanup and a lot of ice. So a couple things that have to get done there. So avoid that. Check your pipes, check your heat, and we'll go from there. Okay, let's talk about the home inspection as a whole in the wintertime. Just can be concerned that, you know, you're going to see how the heater works because, you know, most home inspectors will turn the furnace up 3 or 4 degrees. I like to turn it up 5 degrees because that way I remember how high I turned it up, and also to see how long it takes the furnace to get it to 5 degrees up. So we turn it on, we get there, and most of the times we can see how long it takes to jump that few degrees up. And that's an indicator of how warm the house is going to be. That's just the furnace, don't forget. That's not the, with fireplace or wood stove and stuff like that, which many houses have. That goes into effect, too, because I did a house the other day that the wood stove was up and running and full of wood. It looked like it was working perfect, but there was no way for me to get inside it and look up the flue because you open that door, it was about, 500 degrees, and it was really toasty. So the good news is you get to see it working. The bad news is you don't get a visual inspection of inside. So there's disclaimers on that. So understand the report. And the report is key, guys, because, I mean, we do the inspections, and we'll show you things while we do the inspection. But the report is key because that is what the legal document is and what you're paying for. So it's what you're going to refer to a year from now if something happens and you say, God, I wish Larry saw that. And then you go back to my report and it says that I did see it and I did make notion of it, or I didn't see it. Understand my report also says I'm not perfect. Please hold the home inspection to a high standard, but they are human and it is a visual inspection. And don't forget, when we're doing the inspection, normally the house is full of furniture, full of personal belongings. There's many areas that are cluttered because people are moving. There are many times I get in the garage and I can't see a garage wall. There are boxes all in the garage, almost book solid. There are cars left in the garage. There are bikes in the garage. I'm especially nervous when I see, I did one last week that had a beautiful chopper motorcycle and a vet in the garage, and it was up against the wall, and the guy had actually moved it over so I could get the electric box, which I greatly appreciated. Because all I could picture is one of my screwdrivers falling out of my belt and my utility belt there and then bouncing off the hood of the car. So understand that home inspectors are very nervous. We don't want to damage anything in the house. My goal is to leave the house, exactly as I found it. No more damage. There are times where I have to cut. You know, if you have a house and you're selling it, these are chips for you too. If you're painted over the electric panel, cut the tape, cut the panel on the edges. So when I take the screws out, I don't tear the paint. I do try to cut it if I have to, but I am getting in there usually. There are very few cases where I can't get to it. And there are a few times where the wall's built around it where I'm not getting to it. So that's a whole nother game. But next week we're going to talk about real estate market probably, if I get the person I'm hoping to. But we'll talk about the real estate market, what it means to you. If you're thinking about selling, you're thinking about buying, or where you're thinking about going is a good question, because if you're staying in the state, realize that if you sell, you're probably going to pay dearly where you go if you're going to stay. If you're going to leave the state, then there are other considerations, and you want to think about that. I know that I'd love to downsize a little bit. My house is okay, but I don't know what I do with all my stuff, for one, and neither does my wife, probably. But I don't see anything cheaper around, to tell you the truth, to be honest. Everything I see on the market is as expensive as mine or more, and Chase still owns a big chunk of my house. Fortunately, it's helped me along the way, but I still owe quite a bit on the mortgage there. So keeping that up, unless I win that $1 billion that we all want to win, huh? How about that? What would you do if you won $1 billion? That's a question that I'd like to ask people is, what would you do if you won that billion? Would you claim it yourself, or would you like form a group and then give away shares? I think that's so much money that I'd love to be able to just give it away to people. But I did read an article recently about a lawyer in New Jersey who actually handles over 100 people's situations that have won the lottery, and I understand New Jersey now you can claim it anonymously. And I think I'd claim it anonymously and not tell anybody, because I don't know that I want to deal with all the headaches that come with it. But I'd like to think that it would be pretty generous if I won $1 billion, because even after taxes, you're probably talking $500 million. That's a lot of money to live with. I think I could live with a little less and give some away, make a lot of people happy maybe. But I bet you there'd be more people that I can make happy than I could make happy. So who knows? Well, I'm rambling now, but let's talk about Jeannie and Larry. Jeannie's going to be off on next week. Again, Jeannie Murphy's a white coat realtor here in Flemington, one of the nicest ladies I've ever met. Irrelevant of being an agent, she's also a great agent. She'll bend over backwards for her clients, and she knows her stuff. She knows the area, she knows what to do, and she knows everybody in town. So if you're looking for a real estate agent, make sure you talk to Jeannie Murphy. My name is Larry McAtee at Home Team. Hope you enjoyed today. I know it's a little less organized than we'd like it to be, but we're getting there. It's our second show here on the station, and I think we're at home now with the facility now, the new facility of Huntington County Chamber. If you're not a member of the Chamber, guys, and you are a business and doing business in Huntington County, come see Chris Phelan. Think about joining. It's very inexpensive. As a matter of fact, they just opened up free courses to Huntington County members that are $200 value, so you get two-thirds your registration feedback, even if you take these courses. And these courses are everything from accounting to social media to help your business off the ground. I can only tell you that I joined two chambers when I started my business 3 years ago, and things have been going very well. And a large part of that success is the chambers, not only in the business that it can help you generate, just the people you meet that you can talk to and that you can find out things and you can actually learn or ask questions of, and also the camaraderie. When you learn that there are other people out there struggling and you're waking up, and when you carry the books. I mean, I worked as a salesman, as a VP of sales for many years, and I always thought of myself working for myself because I survived on my own numbers. But when you carry the books and the payroll home every Friday night, it's a big difference, guys. And so support your local businesses. Be healthy, be well, and hopefully everybody's safe, and we'll see where we go from here. So home again with Larry and Jeannie, or Jeannie and Larry, one or the other, and hopefully we'll see you again in 2 weeks. If you have any ideas, for shows or guests, please send me an email at lmcentee, that's L-M-C-E-N-T-E-E, at hometeam.com, or you can call me at 973-547-7748. If you'd like to be on the show, let me know, and if we have a good topic, we'll have you on. We can do it by phone now, too, so hopefully we'll see you soon. Be well, be safe, and be happy. Thank you.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The Senate will start working on an aggressive new stimulus package next week.
Congress must pursue a bold and robust course of action to defeat the disease, recover our economy, get our country back to normal.
Senate Majority Leader from New York, Chuck Schumer, saying that they cannot undershoot this effort to address a continuing and urgent situation. Meanwhile, Senate Minority Leader from Kentucky, Mitch McConnell, believes President Trump's sweeping executive orders are not worker-friendly and also will put the brakes on domestic energy production.
Willfully throwing our own people out of work, reducing our domestic energy security, raising costs and prices for working families, all for no meaningful impact on global temperatures.
The number of workers seeking first-time unemployment claims dropped to 847,000 this last week. This is USA Radio News.
It's totally normal to be constipated with belly pain, straining, and bloating again and again.
No way.
You could have a chronic condition called irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C. Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess works differently than laxatives to help relieve belly pain and let you have more frequent and complete bowel movements. Individual results may vary. Do not give to children less than 6, and it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. Talk to your doctor today. You may be able to save on Linzess and make fewer trips to the pharmacy. See if you're eligible to pay as little as $30 for 90 days. Visit Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS. Sponsored by AbbVie and Ironwood Pharmaceuticals.
New York State's Attorney General is releasing new information regarding nursing home deaths in the state.
The New York State Attorney General announced Thursday New York Governor Andrew Cuomo's administration is undercounting coronavirus-related deaths in nursing homes by as much as 50%. The Democrat governor says they should not include the number of ill nursing home patients that later died after being transported to the hospital.
If you died in a nursing home, it's called a nursing home death. If you die in a hospital, it's called a hospital death. It doesn't say where were you before.
It was Cuomo's mandate that sent infected people into nursing homes in the early stages of the pandemic, killing well over 8,000 people, perhaps 13,000 deaths. We won't know the actual numbers until the report gets published, currently being reviewed by officials for applicable exemptions, legal privileges, and responsiveness. From the West Coast USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Lance Pry.
More news can be found online at usaradio.com. This is